Hello and welcome everybody to episode 80 of This Xbox Life, a very special episode. I am BJSwig33 along with Moronic Cow and a very special guest, which is, we're going to call him Mr. March for the time being and not really give it away. So Mr. March, you can say hello, just don't give out your name yet.
Hello.
So everybody can start to guess on who that is.
Place your bets, everyone.
Yeah. So
send all money to MoronicCow at gmail.com. PayPal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you if you're right.
I get 10%.
No.
Yeah. I don't even know where my cut comes in. Where's my cut come in at? But we have a good show. Quick rundown. We're obviously going to talk to Mr. March and find out what we've been playing, ask a few questions. We've got a couple interesting topics. The franchises topics will be fun. Friends list. Moronic Cow must have made everybody mad because nobody gave us any questions this week. But that's not a to-do for everybody next week, because I can remember what Kyle did last time. And then we got bombarded with like 500. So, but as you can tell, Wingman 709 and Presar are unavailable. They're, Presar had a late, has to work now, last call, and then Mark will actually be gone for the next couple weeks. So, but everybody ready to get started?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. So before we start what we've been playing, let's announce Mr. March here. So, Mr. March, I'll let you introduce yourself.
All right. My name is Chris, a.k.a. Dark Christoph. Glad to be Mr. March. I got big shoes to fill.
Yeah. As I said, so he will be, when you flip to the calendar of March, you'll see Dark Christoph himself.
In an extremely modest pose.
Yeah. So,
remember, and we are a family show.
Yeah, but we're gonna let you go first. What have you been playing?
Okay, man, it's been a lot of Call of Duty this last week. Playing through Call of Duty Classic. I got as a bonus for getting the one of the upper versions of Modern Warfare 2. Finally got into that. Really liking it. Super tough because you don't have regenerating health, and I never played it originally on the PC, so it was cool to get kind of the background of Call of Duty. Also, Call of Duty World at War, played through that, beat it, tried to go back on Veteran, decided there was not a chance. On Veteran, it is pretty much just a grenade fest, so I gave up on that pretty quick. And then some more Call of Duty, did some multiplayer Modern Warfare 2 this last week, ranked up a couple times, still super, super low. Haven't played it near as much as I've wanted to. Boy, what else? Finally 1K'd the Saboteur. That was pretty cool.
Very nice. That is a feat that I have yet to accomplish.
Yeah, Wing said he was going to go back in 1K too. I don't know if he's done that yet.
I think he gave up on it for right now.
You know, I started playing that game and I got like past the race and just started doing the stuff in Paris.
Mhm.
And I completely lost interest like right away, and I was
really,
yeah, I was kind of bummed because I was really looking forward to that game for a very long time, and it just did not grab me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go back, and you know, maybe I got to go back to it. Later at some point in time. I don't know if it's just because I had some other stuff to play and it just distracted me from playing it, but I could not. I sent it back. I don't even know if I got 25 gamer score in the thing. I have no idea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's I was kind of disappointed, but sorry. You may continue.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. It was, I got to say, one of my favorite games of last year. Really, really liked it. But other than that, played through, beat Mass Effect 2, thinking about getting ready to start my second playthrough. I had two characters that I made drastically different choices with in the first game. So thinking about going back and starting the second one and see how much actually changes in the game with the different decisions from the first one. So that ought to be interesting. And then I picked up Red Faction Guerrilla. Not sure what I think about that game. The single player is neat, and the destruction is amazing. Like, you can just, you know, go up and take, like, a sledgehammer to anything, and the physics are pretty great. Doesn't seem to have much of a story, and I haven't given multiplayer much of a chance. I played one match and thought it was horrible, and hardly anybody's playing it anymore already, so. But might go through, give that one a little bit more of a shot, but other than that, that's pretty much it.
Cool. A lot of Call of Duty, basically.
Yeah, a lot of Call of Duty.
All right. Very nice. Very nice. Call of Duty definitely dropped that like a rock, but very cool. You hit what, the last three of them? So that's in a week, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, just about burnout.
Yeah. Well, I've been jumping around a little bit this week. I got some FIFA in. I got my just horrible. I lost pretty much every game I played against two of my friends. So
I'm glad you have it. So when if I ever get it from GameFly, I've had it on my GameFly for 2 months now.
Yeah, we'll play.
And, well, I can't get it. It's like always low. So
you'll get it eventually. It's a great game. It really is. But, one of my friends, this is pretty much the only game he plays. So I beat him, and then literally he worked on for like the next week. He worked on just, you know, getting really, really good again and, just wiped the floor with me. It was pretty ridiculous, but,
nice.
So yeah, so that was pretty exciting. I also played the 40th day with him, Armia 2, and that game's horrible. I'm not gonna lie.
Ouch.
The game just isn't good. And, you know, after I think we got through like the first mission or whatever, and I got him to play on the hardest difficulty. And, I was like, dude, if you're gonna, cause he originally wanted me to get it so we could play it, cause he thought it looked cool. And, so I got it, took it over to him, and, we played on the hardest difficulty, and we were doing fine. And there's a decision, an ethical decision that you had to make, very similar in Mass Effect, like Mass Effect, and end up killing the guy. And I see an achievement pop up for 5 points. And I'm like, you've got to be joking me. So we get through, and we get to a point where we just keep dying. And it's very frustrating. And now I've got the decision of – he doesn't want to play it anymore. I was like, dude, should I just send this game back or what? He's like, dude, just send it back. So I got the decision of sending it back with 5 gamer score or suffering through it by myself unless I can con someone to play with me to get at least a respectable like 200 to 300 gamer score before sending it off. But I don't know what I should do. So
I just don't know people would think that, well, I'm not saying you, but why anybody would think that this game would be remotely decent after the first one.
Well, okay, let me just make sure this is clear. This guy does not really play, like I said, pretty much he only plays FIFA and he bought Modern Warfare 2. That's pretty much the only use his Xbox gets is FIFA. So he has no real – he just saw this commercial. He's like, dude, have you seen this commercial for this game? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, it's probably not going to be very good. He's like, well, if you get a chance, you should totally get it on GameFly and bring it over, and we'll play. I was like, all right. So I did. And now that I've got 5 gamer score, he's like, oh, this game's horrible.
Yeah, you can't remember
so, that. It's frustrating, but I'm trying to decide if I can honestly send it back with – having 5 gamer score, and I'm really tempted to, but it hurts real bad. So anyways, other than that, I played some Dante's, and really funny kind of quick laugh at Kyle moment. I was playing this game and it's all right. It's nothing special, but I've been playing this game, and there's no autosave, which makes no sense to me. There's little statues that you go up to, and you hit right bumper, and then you pick your save file, and you save. I'm like, all right, well, that's kind of stupid, you know. So I'm going up to these statues, and I'm pressing right bumper, double tap A, gets out of it, and I'm thinking I'm saving. So I probably put 2 hours into the game, and then I save real quick and turn it off. And next time I come in, I look at my save file, and it says 30 minutes. And I was like, uh-oh. So I booted up, and sure enough, it was right where I had started, you know, the other day, and that I played for 2 hours. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? So I start playing again. I eventually loaded out of it and loaded back into it just to make sure that it wasn't corrupt or anything. And I went to back to the save statue, and it turns out that you have to – it, like, highlights the opposite character. Like, has – are you sure you want to save this file? And it says yes and no. And even though yes is highlighted, it really means no, I think. I don't know. Maybe I just got confused, but – I ended up double tapping A and it never saved. I actually had to hit down and then press A for it to save. So that was frustrating. But now that I learned my lesson, I pretty much lost 2 hours of my life. But that's okay. Yeah. But I learned my lesson now, and it doesn't make sense that a game in 2010 would not have autosave. But it doesn't. So that's it for me. Oh, and Borderlands. Sorry. Been playing the DLC, which we'll talk about later. And I'll stop talking right now.
Yeah, actually, this week I started playing my second playthrough of Borderlands. I don't have the DLC because I don't have any space on my hard drive. Yay!
Come on, man. You don't have 1.66 gigs for Nox?
No, I don't.
Did you see my post about the talkback? I threw you under the bus. I said, for some reason, you don't have Borderlands, or even worse, have Borderlands and don't have the DLC. So that was just free.
Yeah, we'll get back to that a little bit later.
Yes, we will.
So Borderlands, Battlefield 1943, a couple people picked it up when it was on sale, so I've been playing with them. I got ODST back in Gamefly so I can beat the game. I got a couple people that want to play through on Legendary. Kyle, if you'd like to join, or anybody would like to join. I think we need a fourth person.
Oh, rats. I left that with my brother.
And actually, after we beat ODST, I think we're at least two of us want to go through Halo 3 again on Legendary, if anybody would like to join on that, too.
Let me know. I would be interested in the last level.
Of Halo 3?
The last level of Halo 3 on Legendary. I think there's, like, the what do you call them? The Vidmaster?
Uh-huh.
I need the Vidmaster for the last level, so I will join you for sure.
Well, we need somebody to, and also to like pick up all the skulls for the people that know where they're all at. So, I think you're one of them. So,
I have no
idea. I
think
I know where most of them are. Yeah.
Oh, Dark, if you want to play, or Mr. Kristoff, if you'd like to join, hey, I mean anybody's welcome. I'll shoot you on there because I think we're on about the same time.
Cool. Yeah, I still have Halo 3, so.
So, all right, cool. And for the misadventures of PB Winterbottom, of course. But there's this game that I love to death, NHL 10, and it has finally not only pushed me, but everybody else that's been playing in our club, like over the line. We're all at this moment, we're all hanging up our skates as far as the clubs. We might do a online league against each other. So if anybody has NHL 10, they want to join online league, let me know. You can shoot email brian@thisxboxlife.com. Or put it in the forums. But the thing is the clubs, until they put out a new fix for online play, we're all done. I think there was connection problems for 2 days, and then I think we lost like four straight by people just hitting at the blue line, and it was just ridiculous. So we threw in the towel, and I'm not too happy. So, but that's it for me.
Ouch, that's rough. I think that's the reason why I only play like EA sports games or most sports games just with people I know.
Right. Well, and I mean, it's with, you know, the people I know are on my team, and the people we're playing against, it's not their fault. It's the game is broken. It's just, it always seems like we have the goalie who is a complete idiot and everything else is their guys is like perfect. So, No idea. But that's about it. Before we get into, you know, your intro or your background and stuff, do a FNL recap, which is we didn't have one. So, and I think we might be having a problem, actually.
I'm here. Oh, okay. I got dropped.
Oh, all right. Welcome back.
Thank you. You didn't say anything bad about me.
No. Okay. Actually, I was just going over about how bad NHL 10 online is.
And, I was going to add that they didn't change. I tried to do a FIFA club thing. Nah, it just doesn't work. I mean, there's two problems. There's one, I can't figure it out. And two, like, there's an achievement for FIFA, and it's probably the same with NHL. But to have a 10-on-10 match.
Yeah, so yeah, do on 6-on-6.
And the problem is that people will go in and you got to choose your position.
Yeah.
So if you get 10-on-10, you're like, okay, great. And then you get into the point where you choose your position, and the first, you know, two people want to be strikers, or everybody on the, you know, that signed up for this team wants to be strikers, so they don't get striker position or
they
like
quit.
Left wing or right wing, they just quit.
Yeah.
And you're like, you've got to be joking. So,
yeah, we always get it to where when people start to lose, they turn off their Xbox and it's like, thanks.
Yeah, that's rough.
I think at least in the World Cup, they were thinking about the World Cup edition trying to penalize people for doing that somehow.
Right.
But a record's a record.
Right. And it doesn't matter. It's just a game. So, I mean, I have more losses than, you know, anything, but I just want to go on there and have fun and score some goals and not get beat by some guy who does a backflip and the puck goes off his helmet through our goalie's chest and into the goal. But, cause that's what it seems like is happening. But, all right. Like I said, FNL recap. We didn't have FNL, or at least I didn't hold anything. I know Kyle was working. I was, out of town until about an hour before we recorded. So we'll have to pick back up next week with Battlefield Bad Company 2. So
have fun.
Oh, I will. I can't wait. So, Mr. Dark Christoph, we have a series of questions for you.
All right.
And some background. I believe you can see the questions. First one, you know, tell us about yourself. You can give out as much as or as little as you would like so people don't, you know, the women don't stalk you and go everywhere. But you see the list if, you know, go over what consoles you've had and, you know, when you started gaming and stuff. But we're going to let you have it and we'll jump in as we go.
All right. Sounds good. Well, my name, again, is Chris, a 25-year-old gamer from the great state of Montana. Billings, Montana. Been here for a few years now. Grew up in Washington. Like it out here. Lots of fun stuff to do outside of the house. So that's pretty cool. Consoles I've owned. I've been in gaming pretty well since, pretty much forever. We started out with an Atari 2600, you know, with the fake wood trim and everything.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yes, excellent. Good times. And my dad also had in our recreation room, we had an original Space Invaders arcade cabinet, which, I can't even begin to tell you how much time I spent on that. It was one of those table ones, the two-player ones, so one person sits down on each side and the screen flips when it's your turn.
Uh-huh.
Pretty crazy, but I wish I still had that, but it's long gone now.
That's I mean, I have a buddy who made a tabletop MAME machine.
Oh, nice.
I think his site's like mymameblog.com or something like that if you want to check that out. But his is like, you know, the people sitting across from each other. But then he's also has it where you can actually sit like on the side of it. Like one of the side of it has a control. Then it basically turns into a single person like arcade game. Arcade machine.
Nice.
So he's built it out. It's really neat. So
that is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to have an arcade cabinet again someday.
Yeah, and now you're kind of kicking your – are you kicking yourself? Because that thing's probably worth a ton of money.
I'm kicking my dad because, yeah. Yeah, we had it rewired because it was, you know, like an actual cabinet. We had it rewired so we didn't have to put quarters in every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fantastic. So – but, yeah, pretty much mostly Nintendo consoles from there on out. I had an NES. I had an NES with a second controller, or a third controller, I guess, that I would pull out if I was grounded and my mom took the other two controllers. So that was pretty great. Played most of the major games on the NES. Never had a Super Nintendo. I actually went from a regular NES to a Genesis.
That's what I did. That's the jump I made.
Yeah, it was a good jump. I had a lot of fun with Sonic. Probably played one of my top favorite games of all time, which was an RPG called Shining Force. Ton of fun with that. Then went to the N64. I remember getting the N64 pretty vividly. I asked for it the first Christmas it came out, and my parents got me Rollerblades instead, and I was absolutely crushed. But got it the following year for my birthday with Star Fox with the Rumble Pack, and that was amazing. So
good old Star Fox.
Good old Star Fox, yep.
The N64 controller always confused me.
You had to hold, like, the way I held it was my left hand, like there's like it was a three-pronged attack of buttons.
Yeah.
And your left hand like went under the Z button, mm-hmm. and also controlled the analog stick. And then my right hand would control the A, B, and all that stuff. The C buttons, if a game required me to use C buttons, I was pretty screwed. But
Well,
pretty much the left and right hand.
Yeah, the D-pad was on the left side, right?
Was it?
I can't remember. That was the weirdest. Yeah, it was the
But then, like, the memory cartridge was, like, underneath the controller, and...
Yep.
It was just, like, I always just kind of wondered, I'm like, who thought this was a good idea? But, I didn't have an N64. Actually, it's kind of funny you're saying you went from the jump from the NES to the Genesis was what I did, but then I jumped from the Genesis all the way out to, I think, the PS1, PS2.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I stuck with Nintendo pretty religiously there for a while. I guess I still do. I have a Wii. Not that I use it, but I have one. But yeah, after the N64, I got a GameCube. There were some pretty great games on the GameCube. Eternal Darkness was awesome. Really underappreciated. But I even got the... I don't even remember what it's called now. The Game Boy player that you plugged in underneath the GameCube so you could play your Game Boy games on your TV. That was pretty crazy. But and then I got an Xbox and was pretty much hooked after that. The Xbox brought with me to Montana, set up tons of LAN parties, all that good stuff. So never got Xbox Live for the first Xbox, but when the 360 came around, I picked the 360 up a couple months after it released. I think I got it in January of 06, I think that's right. Didn't it release in, like, November of 05, or am I completely off base?
Okay. Yes.
Cool. Yeah. So pretty early adopter on there. I am on my third or fourth Xbox now.
Wow.
Unfortunately. Most of them covered under warranty. One not, which was a bummer, but yeah. Despite all of that, loving the Xbox. I think I think what really did it for me was the achievements. Even though I'm nowhere near you, Kyle, or Wing, just crossed 55K. I'm pretty proud of that. It's been a lot of fun. So, yeah, never did a whole lot of like arcade gaming. You know, a little bit here and there. I played a bunch of Soul Calibur in the arcades, but other than that, a little bit of Ridge Racer. Never really big on the arcades. But yeah, been with gaming quite a while. Did a little bit on the PC. Played Command and Conquer, the early Need for Speed games, but not a whole lot on the PC.
And see, that's where my big blank was there between the Genesis and the PS1 and stuff was on the PC. But I do have to jump back. You may not have as much gamer score as Kyle. But nothing against you, Kyle. But you do have your dignity.
Thanks.
Whoa now.
I was afraid for a little while.
Whoa now. We got to see if he passed the test. That up right.
But if it's the Avatar test, yes, I've played it.
Okay, then you failed. Yes, welcome
aboard. See, then I have my dignity. I haven't played that yet.
There you go. There you go.
Everybody has their dark days.
Yeah. It's like the day where you just, I need my points. I need my gamer score. I haven't gotten any gamer score. I need my fix. Well, I'm like 1,000 right now.
In literally like, what, 45 seconds, maybe a minute and a half. It's ridiculous.
I just laugh when, I think it's when you did it. Because I know Wing did it as well. You game flight it. You popped it in for 45 seconds and it was in the mailbox quicker than it was in your... It's like in a mailbox in a heartbeat.
Pretty much 5 minutes for both, from mailbox to mailbox. Pretty much 5 minutes.
Spent more time in the wrapper in your house than it did in your Xbox.
That's great. That you just great. keep the mailman outside. Wait, I'll be right back.
I was unfortunately pretty late, but I wish that was the case.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty much it for the consoles. But...
What's been your favorite console so far?
Oof.
Before we get to your favorite game.
That's tough. The Xbox has been great. Obviously, that's the most fresh in my memory. But man, I probably got to say NES. Maybe N64 right after that.
Hmm. Cool.
The NES, tons of fun. You know, when I was little, younger, elementary. You know. Lots of friends over swapping controllers. Those were good times.
Yeah. I just always remember how hard the NES games were.
There were a lot of hard
Mike
ones, yeah.
Tyson's Punch-Out.
Like, the Mega Man is kind of what I'm thinking.
Mega Man was
tough. Yeah. Yep. You had Adventures of Link, which is, like, still my favorite Zelda game.
Nice.
So.
Oh, yeah. I had a couple Game Boys thrown in there, too.
Any other handhelds? Did you have the Game Gear?
I did not. I had a friend who did, and we could only play it for 15 minutes before the battery died.
It's kind of funny. I could probably, I don't know if I finally got rid of it or not. Mine still might be in my basement, actually. My Game Gear.
Nice. And that's
it still plays, still works.
Nice. I've been really bad about that. I still have my Nintendo, my NES, and I still have my Genesis, but all the rest of my consoles I've gotten rid of, which... Looking back was a horrible decision, but
I think we have a
DS too, but it's pretty much just for looking up recipes on. So
that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think we're at. What's your favorite games?
Favorite games
is or your favorite game? One or the other.
Favorite recent games have got to be. Mass Effect, definitely. Fallout 3, pretty much most Bethesda games. Elder Scrolls, pretty great. Even though I've played a lot of Call of Duty, not my favorite. kind of fun to spend some time in, definitely multiplayer. Play with friends and family in multiplayer a lot. But and then going back... Big fans of the original Zelda games, like you said, Brun. Ocarina of Time on the N64 was pretty epic. Big fan of Perfect Dark. Cannot wait.
I was waiting for that to come out of your mouth.
Cannot wait for
that. When's that coming? That's coming here shortly.
March
7th, I want to say.
A couple weeks, right?
That sounds about right.
Huh.
I've got it here.
That will be amazing.
It's going to be so good. You and me.
Be all over that.
It's going to be 17th is what, a Tuesday or Wednesday?
Generally, it's Wednesday for Xbox
game
or arcade games.
Might have to cut my last class a little short.
Definitely. I might be sick on that day.
Yeah, I feel a little cold coming. For sure. Yep, 17th. That is correct. It's a Wednesday.
Excellent.
It is a little over 2 weeks.
Dun, dun, dun.
I am there.
Oh, for sure. The multiplayer is going to be the funnest part of that.
Definitely.
I cannot wait to throw
multiplayer
some in
with on GoldenEye maps and GoldenEye guns and
Well, it's the regular game had some GoldenEye maps. Complex.
It did. Yeah.
Pretty much the only map that I played online was Complex. Or just on the N64, on the Perfect Dark, regular one was Complex. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Definitely.
So, can't get much worse than Perfect Dark Zero, I guess. But go on.
Biggest disappointment ever. But big fan. Like I said earlier, of the original Need for Speed games. I kind of lost interest in those when Underground 2 came out. But the original ones with like actual supercars, you know, Ferraris and Lamborghinis and all that good stuff. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to keep. Like to keep the gaming pretty varied. I don't like to stick to one particular genre. But, that's pretty much it for favorites.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have another favorite question for you to ask you. Well, actually, there's still a couple left. Now, we all know that this Xbox Life is your favorite podcast.
Definitely.
But no. Well, that's the question. What's your favorite podcast? Don't feel obligated that I have my hand or my mouth on your thing right now getting ready to kick you out of the call.
It's a close race, but I got to really say this is a pretty great podcast. I mean, just your guys' community involvement is pretty awesome. I mean, the fact that you have like the talk box and the friends list and, you know, you really don't exclude everyone. And that's the nice thing about having a, I don't want to say smaller, but like more close-knit community.
Mm-hmm.
That you guys have established, I think that's pretty awesome. As far as other podcasts that I listen to, most of the IGN ones, Three Red Lights, GameScoop, a couple people messaged me saying they heard me on the OXM podcast a couple weeks back. That's another one I listened to quite a bit.
But were you on one of their questions?
I was. Yep. I didn't mention it earlier, but I'm a home theater installer.
Uh-huh.
So I think there was somebody on there with a technical question about their Xbox and a specific TV that I just happened to know the answer to. So I called in, helped them out, but.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty fun job. I gotta say, I really like it.
What, any certain brand that you specialize in or?
The TVs and stuff that we see the most often are Samsung TVs. They're pretty much top dog as far as sales go right now. But we see all sorts, you know, from projectors to, you know, giant plasmas and flat panels and those new super thin LEDs. And it's a lot of fun. You get a lot of people, you know, we get to hook up their Xboxes and their PlayStations to them and, you know, even sometimes sit around and, you know, look at, not play games for a little while. But it's a pretty fun job.
That's funny. So, you mentioned IGN. I listen to pretty much all theirs except for the Nintendo one.
I used to listen to the Nintendo one, but
it kind of got boring on that one.
It kind of did.
Yeah. Three Red Lights is funny at sometimes, but other times it's just crazy with all their Lost talk. But
yes.
Beyond and GameScoop are actually my two favorite out of those guys. So, but cool. Listen to anybody else besides the IGN groups and OXM?
just I listened to, because I'm really, really big into movies as well, I listened to the IGN DigiGods, and they covered DVD releases every week. So, yeah, I'm kind of a DVD and Blu-ray buying addict. I should be taking medication probably, but I'm not yet, so.
Well, you kind of spoke about the podcast and the community. Is there anything you want to add about what you like or anything you'd like to see in the future or anything to make it better? I mean, we're always open to suggestions.
You know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I've been listening to the podcast since episode 20, 21, so for a while now. I didn't catch it right at the beginning, but right when you guys were doing the big gamer card push, or gamer right. tard push, however you want to call it. But,
thanks.
But yeah, I've been listening ever since. Unfortunately, I hardly ever get on to do the FNL games. I don't think I've ever been on one. But I think it's a great idea. It's just my schedule almost always, you know, either I'm working super late or I have something else going on. One of these days, though, I promise, I'll get in there.
Yeah, we might have to find – I mean, we've done that before where, like, FNL, we've kind of put out there for people that can't meet our time that we're doing it, you know, let us know. I'll set up a special one if it's something that – you know, we need to do on like a Saturday or something where I need to be up at like 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, things like that. Because you got, you know, some other people like Soul Assassin who don't have anything to do. Right. They're up until 5 in the morning playing with us. But, you know, not everybody can do that. Definitely, you know, I understand completely. So, all right, cool. Well, we're in 2010. Besides the Perfect Dark that you, Kyle, and were talking about earlier, what games do you most want to play this year? Oh,
my goodness. it's so hard to narrow it down. Yep. I was thinking about it earlier, and I came up with literally in 30 seconds, like 13 games that I was thinking of, you know? And it's just, this year is crazy. I am seriously thinking about joining Gamefly just because, like, if I buy all the games I want to play, I'm going to be broke.
Yeah.
Like sitting on the sidewalk with my TV playing games because, yeah, it's absolutely crazy. But, like, if I had to pick...
Pick five.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
If more if you want. We're not in a hurry.
No, I won't. I won't go through all 13, I promise. But Perfect Dark, definitely. I got a... the second wing with his comment in last week's podcast about L.A. Noire. I read the preview that he was talking about, and it sounds really, really cool. Like the way that they're doing the animation with real actors. I think it said they had over 300 actors, like actual actors in there giving performances and recording their facial animations and stuff like that. Just like from a technology standpoint alone, I want to see what it's going to be like. Plus knowing it's Rockstar, it's, you know, most likely going to be a pretty good game. But, in keeping with Rockstar, Red Dead Redemption should be really, really cool. I didn't play the first one, but I've been a big fan of Western games. I played, Gun. I mm-hmm. won Cade Gun, I think. And that was using a glitch, which I think is still out there. kind of for the difficulty levels, because playing through that game on the highest difficulty level is ridiculous. But there's a pretty well-known glitch to get those all right at the end, which is kind of cool. But Fable 3 should be awesome. Halo Reach sounds like it's going to be really, really good. Just looking at screenshots and things like that, I think that one's going to be pretty amazing too. But there's a ton more, but yeah, it's gonna be a crazy year for gaming. Oh, Fallout New Vegas too. That one should be pretty good.
Cool. Yeah, it does. Sounds like you do have a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't hear Just Cause 2. Did you say that? Did I miss that?
I didn't. It's not even on my list of 13.
Really?
I played the first one and was so turned off by the first one that, like, I didn't even play at, well, I take it back. I didn't play the game. I played the demo and was super turned off by the demo. So I don't know what it is about it, but it just didn't click.
Which demo did you play? The first demo?
For the first Just Cause, yep.
Okay, because I think I saw that Just Cause 2, a demo for that's supposed to be coming out shortly. I'm actually trying to look it up right now.
It's, I think, this week, this coming week. So
drops in March 4th. March 4th.
Yeah, it's, week Thursday.
Cool.
So
nice.
So yeah,
I'll check out the demo again for this one. I'll give it a second shot, but yeah, it's just not really on my radar right now.
The anatomy of a stunt videos are pretty cool. Not gonna lie. So that's definitely on my list, but continue.
Well, since I mean, you seem like you've played a broad variety of games, but if you could make any video game or a video game, what would you make? a weird crossover, or I mean,
no, nothing nearly that. That's, I just make a good, perfect dark. After seeing what Rare did with Perfect Dark Zero.
Oh,
perfect
gosh.
Dark Zero was a nightmare. An absolute nightmare. I mean, that was really one of the reasons why I bought a 360, was because I heard that, you know, Microsoft had bought Rare from Nintendo, and, like, the first thing that clicked was, you know, it's going to be amazing. There's going to be a new Perfect Dark. And it was crap.
I mean, no offense
to anyone that likes it, if anyone's out there, but yeah, it's horrible.
Perfect Dark Zero was horrible.
Yes, Dark Zero.
Did Rare actually make that one? Or?
Yeah, Rare made it.
Oh, wow.
Somehow. I don't, don't ask me why. But
I don't know if it was a different team within Rare or what the deal was, but it just, wow.
Did you actually suffer through the single player? Did you make it?
I did. I made it all the way through.
Really?
Yeah.
Props to you, sir.
I think it was mostly because I was trying to find some sort of
some way to like
quality.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Dude, I have so much more respect for you now because I played the first level and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Really, that was the only reason why I bought an Xbox.
Yeah, it was a major reason for me.
Zero. I was just like, well, I guess I'll play Madden 06 now. Anyways, but wow.
Well, kind of the hardest and the last question before we get into some discussions here. And you have to answer, and you're not going to offend anybody. Who is your favorite host?
Oh man, I think my call is dropping. I don't know if I can answer this one.
Oh, you have to. we're gonna sit here. You're not gonna hurt anybody's feelings. I forget who Ravioli Capone picked.
It was me.
He picked Kyle. That's right.
Nice. Wow, that's a tough one. You know, out of all of I think I have you all on my friends list, but the only people that I've played games with are Wing and Kyle. Uh-huh. Which is it's funny. Soul Assassin was saying that everybody calls him Wing, nobody calls him Mark.
Yeah,
but, I even in my emails to him, I struggle to type Mark. I'm always typing Wing, and it's like I don't know why it just fits him so well.
Yeah.
That's great. I gotta, you're going 2-0. I gotta say Kyle, just cause I played the most games with you and, which really isn't a lot, but we spent some time in Firefight and some 1v100. So, but looking forward to playing more with all of you if Presar ever gets online again. So
it's always like the running joke at the end, isn't it? If Presar ever gets online and we'll be playing Halo 3, and you got rid of your ODST. Didn't I hear you say that earlier?
Yes.
Before we
started? I did, which I'm still kicking myself for because for some reason I forgot that there was a beta code in there.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's, I may have to go rebuy it.
Oh, I forgot about that too.
Yep. I didn't remember until a couple weeks ago, and I was like, ah, oh, I'm an idiot.
See, but I didn't see anything in the box, though.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
I think it's in the instruction.
Is it in the booklet?
I think so.
You might be able to find one of those on eBay. Just buy the booklet for like $5.
Well, yeah. I have mine in Gamefly, and if I buy it now, I can buy it for like $29. But I'm going to have to call it. For one, when Gamefly send it to me, they just send me the campaign disc. They don't send me the multiplayer disc.
Yeah, they don't send – they had a blog about that. They won't send you the multiplayer disc unless you buy it. See, it says, note, bonus disc is not included with purchase of this title but not with – or is included with purchase of title but not with rental. Bonus disc contains the complete Halo 3 multiplayer collection of 24 maps.
Gotcha.
So their justification is you don't need it to play it.
Right. That's true.
Get the ODST experience. It's just Halo 3 add-on.
Yeah. Right. But I'm going to have to call them to make sure that that code's going to be in there or else I'm not going to buy it from them. So but I do have to call them from that. But, all right. Let's see. Discussions. We were kind of going over this before we start recording, and if you kind of want to go over it again, and let's get this thing started. So, Dark, I'll let you. I'm calling you Dark for short. Mr. Christoph. why don't you start off with the first one and tell us what you know?
Okay. I was watching some videos online today about Splinter Cell Conviction, and one of them was highlighting how they announced that they were including the PEC, I think it's the Persistent Elite Creation Tool or something like that, that I guess they're getting from Rainbow Six. It was in Rainbow Six Vegas 2, where for multiplayer and I think a couple of other modes in the game, you can create your player and outfit, kind of like in Call of Duty, you can outfit your weapons, but you can also outfit your character with things like armor and things that slow you down, but give you a little bit better protection. Pretty cool stuff. And I remember in Vegas and Vegas 2, how they also use the Xbox Live camera and let you scan your face into the game. There were a couple other games that did that as well. I don't know if Splinter Cell will be doing it. They didn't say for sure whether or not that was in there. But it got me thinking about, like character customization in games and how it seems to be a more widespread thing, because before it was, mainly like like an RPG thing, but now you're starting to see it in shooters and all sorts of stuff. And I think it's definitely a good thing, but it also got me thinking about Natal and how that could be implemented. And when I was playing Vegas and Vegas 2, I scanned my face in and it worked pretty well, but I'm just hoping that Natal kind of takes at least that functionality and runs with it, because it's supposed to be a way better camera than the camera that's out right now. So if you can record your face in there and maybe, your voice and dialogue, small dialogue things. And, I just thought it'd be pretty cool. And wondering if you guys, either of you, Vegas or Vegas 2 tried scanning your face in and what you thought about that or what you think about the customization in general.
If you don't mind, I'll go first, I guess, but I didn't have a vision camera to scan my face in. As far as so I haven't done it. Now, as far as Natal, the cameras should be better. There's actually, I believe, two in there, because that's how they're going to get the 3D movement. And like that's the depth great. And the depth.
Great cameras.
Yeah, the depth of, your arms and swinging, things like that. But with customizations of your character, like Vegas 2, I did like that. I like the part of getting camo and unlocking weapons and getting ranks. I think just the ranking part of multiplayer and allowing you to customize stuff, I'm always kind of for that. But I do have a but in this one. As far as putting more of me or my attributes, let's say, in a game besides like maybe an avatar, because even in NHL 10 you can make somebody that kind of looks like you, and even Tiger Woods you could scan your face in. It kind of, to me personally, in my opinion, it kind of takes me out of like the out of the game. You know, yeah, because I like to, when I play a game, I try to make myself feel like the person that's in the game, not put me in the game, let's say. I know some people do it the other way, but, you know, Gears of War or something like that, I want to be, you know, the characters in the game like that, like Dom and stuff like that. So I'm not a huge fan of like scanning your face and but I did think it was interesting as far as like putting your voice and stuff in the game, like you mentioned about going, you know, further into that. It's something that I'll probably skip out on. I don't really like to hear myself talk. That's kind of, I have trouble listening to the show and editing and stuff like that, because it kind of bugs me to hear myself talk, because then I start to pick out every time that I say or, you know, like, or
right,
any and everything that I do. So because now I'm going to think about it now, and I just did it.
You just did it again. I was going to say,
I know. Great. See, I just, thanks, Dark Christoph. You ruined it.
Show's over.
I'm done. So that part there, it's not like the top thing, and you know, on the list for me, just due to that, because I think the more I of myself I would put in a game, the more I would just like, you know, I'm not trying to, I can't think of the words I'm trying to say, like not fantasize, but, you know, take myself out of the real world and put me into the game, where if I put myself in, you know, if I really put real world things into the game, it's kind of like, then I can just tell it's whoa. Is everybody okay?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. I heard something rubbing on the mic.
Crazy.
So it's just, I don't know. I'm not big into it, but I'll let Kyle. What do you think about?
Well, Brun, I have to say I am exactly the opposite.
Yep.
I love being able to put my face in the game, and especially like Rainbow Six. I don't know. It was just something about it. It was kind of cool, but if I remember correctly, it limited you on options that you could put. Like, you couldn't have like a hat or goggles or anything. It was just your face. Like, if you went with one of their custom faces, then you could put goggles on and stuff like that. And I would have liked to maybe put like a helmet or some goggles or, you know, something on there. That would have been kind of cool. I didn't like how they did that. With Tiger Woods, it's a little bit different. You can put whatever you want on your guy. And to me, I like being able to put myself – I'm kind of like you, Brun, in which like I like to put myself in – like think I'm in a game. But I also like to see myself like
right.
in a game. Like kind of, you know, act like you're really living out this, you know, like going 20 under on Pebble Beach, you know, and winning the tournament and not – losing any tournament the whole year in PGA Tour. So
right.
that, and to me, is cool.
Yeah, I'm probably like on the – I'm probably not the norm in this case. I'm probably the exception of like not wanting it or not doing it, where, you know, a lot of people probably do take advantage of it. But kind of like how you said, you like to be the golfer that yourself that wins Pebble Beach, where I like to be Tiger Woods and – you know, I could make some funny jokes right now or poke at that, but I'm not going to. But, you know, I like
family
to be,
show.
Yeah, I like to be Tiger Woods or you know, any of the other golfers myself. So, but you're probably on. I mean, you guys are probably on the side where most people would fall. I'm just kind of on the other end, I guess. Nobody like.
Well, I think the only exception to what I would say would be like, now, This is going to sound weird because I actually haven't ever played with Shepard, like the actual stock Shepard character. He's on my background. I'm looking at it right now. But I actually used customized a face, and it kind of looks like me. Yeah. I've used that the whole time. But like with a Sam Fisher or a Captain Mitchell or a Marcus Fenix or, you know, somebody that's very notable, I probably wouldn't, like, if Gears 3 came out and supported this function, I would probably only use it for multiplayer. I wouldn't want to use it for single player because they're more than just stock characters. They're, you know, something that – a character that you followed throughout, you know, the whole series. So
yeah.
I definitely would want to stick with that. And I'm glad – I actually haven't viewed that video. I was looking for it on Game Trailers. I couldn't find it. So it might have been, like, into another video or something like that. But I'm glad that they aren't, like, completely just getting rid of Sam Fisher, you know, and just be like, oh, you can have yourself in the game now, you know, customize your own character.
Yeah, I think it's multiplayer.
Like that. Yeah. Multiplayer and co-op would be really cool to have your own kind of face in there because I like to make up a bunch of stories of
I put my name and my number like on my hockey jersey and NHL, and the guy kind of looks like me. It's just not, me, you know. It's
right.
Well,
right. And of course, you know, the names that you get to pick up is, you know, you can say Frank and all those things like Frank with the score and stuff like that, but nobody can ever find Brun. I'll never find that anywhere. So I always got to name myself like Speedy or. You know, I always pick some
off
the
wall. Your nickname or whatever.
Yeah, I always pick some off the wall comment, but.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it definitely depends on the type of game. Like, I don't think, I mean, with the exception of like kind of Mass Effect where you can kind of create a type of character, I don't think we've seen a game where like you can scan yourself into like a major single player game, you know, like where you're following a really complex story, because I think that part makes sense. Like, you want to follow a specific story with a specific character, and I think throwing yourself in there kind of takes you out of that immersion, like you were saying, Brent. So yeah, that makes sense. But it's just kind of neat to see how far like character creation has come, because I remember like playing like Zelda back in the day, where like instead of it saying Link, you can put in your name, and you know how that kind of started and just how much it's taken off since from there.
But. That's good stuff.
Yeah. One thing I was going to mention, Brun, is that even though you don't have a camera, FIFA actually, in FIFA 10, they had you go through a website and you can upload any picture of yourself. And you could do the little points like you would with the camera, and it would actually beam it down to your game.
Yeah, that's the same thing as Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods allow, I think, you would have to do this on the PC. So I guess it offered that, but it offered the camera as well. So I just did the camera.
Oh, yeah, the PC one's like some elaborate application.
Yeah, it was kind of weird to get it all working and stuff like that because it only worked with specific stuff. But you also probably don't have enough disk space to put a 500 meg file or whatever. Rainbow Six Vegas took up a ton of space. I think they got it down to like 10 meg with Tiger Woods, but Rainbow Six Vegas, I want to say, took 100 meg just for your picture.
Right.
Yeah, and
it took forever to scan it in, too.
Yeah, it took like 30 minutes. It was crazy.
That'd be funny if you had to stand in front of the camera for 30 minutes and not.
It was hard enough trying to like line your face up with because it needs like two side views and a front view.
Yeah.
Like hard enough trying to get it all lined up and get out the pointers and stuff like that.
So that was horrible. Yeah, then you'd wait 30 minutes and like it'd show you your face and it looked horrible, so you'd have to do it again.
Have like a huge black spot right in the middle of your face.
Right.
It's like in a CAT scan. They're like, please don't move. Or an MRI. MRI, that's what it is. Yeah. MRI, you're not allowed moving. So, but that's a good discussion though. I like that. We'll see what everybody on the community has to say about that. So I'd like to see if anybody else is on my side, or I'll be the lone person all by myself. But this next topic is kind of the one I was looking forward to after Dirk Christoph mentioned it. And this is, you know, once again, this is one of his topics. He thought it was pretty interesting, but he just flat out, like, franchises, past franchises, or it could be it could be current ones too to reboot us, right? I mean, definitely. It could be any franchise. Like, which franchises would you want to reboot, bring back from the dead, or start over from scratch? But I'll let you go first, Ark, because I'm curious on what you're going to say. See if you're saying it once I would.
With the ones that I was thinking of, I didn't go back too terribly far. A lot of these are actually just like last gen games that I'd like to see not only just reboot, but just come back. I was a huge fan on the GameCube and the Xbox. Yeah, the original Xbox as well, of Time Splitters. It was one of my favorite first-person shooters. When it came out, it was a lot of fun. It really kind of felt, again, to go back, kind of felt like Perfect Dark, you know, after Perfect Dark and GoldenEye had gone the way of the dinosaur with the N64. And then it just kind of disappeared. I don't know what happened, you know, if the group got split up or... I can't even remember who made it now. I know they were under IDOS, I think.
But Free Radical Free Design.
Yep, that's it.
Published by IDOS.
Nice. Yeah, so I don't know if they're still in existence or who owns them now or what the deal is. But yeah, if we could get a current-gen Time Splitters game, that would be amazing.
So Free Radical Design evidently is Crytek.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
interesting. They're pretty much PC only now, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because there's supposed to be a CryEngine for...
Crysis 2 is supposed to come out for the 360.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
They're building a 360, a CryEngine for 360, I thought.
Yeah, their last game was Time Splitters Future Perfect in 2005. There's actually rumor, according to, take it as you will, Wikipedia, but... There's evidently a rumor of Time Splitters 4 being released for the PS3, it looks like.
Oh.
And Haze was 2008. That's their last game. Also, Star Wars Battlefront 3 they're working on, evidently.
Oh, really?
Jeez. Got lost.
That was announced back in 2006.
Yeah, so maybe.
So maybe, maybe not. Yeah, Crytek UK. Continue.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, from last gen, the SSX snowboarding games.
Ah, I didn't even think about that. That's a good one.
Yeah, they were a ton of fun. I remember playing SSX Tricky, I think, was the one that I originally got started playing and just had a blast with it.
The first one. See, that one was out when I was like around, how many years ago was that? I just remember that being out when a lot of us were like 20, 21, 22, and we'd all go down and just to my buddy's house and just play that game like crazy.
Right.
But it was like the second one or something they put skis in there, and it just, they goofed it up somehow. It just wasn't as fun. Like, the tricks that you're making weren't as fun as the first one.
Right. So. And then the last one that I had on here, well, I guess I have two real quick, but the last one I had that I'd like to see come back, and I know they released a trailer for it a year or two ago, probably 2 years ago now, but then I haven't heard anything, is a game called Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That I played on the GameCube. I think it came out on all three systems, if I remember right. But yeah, that was a ton of fun. Had a really good story. The art style was really, really neat. Played really good. I mean, it was a fantastic game by most accounts, and it didn't do very well, I guess. Even though it had a really big, like, cult following. But, yeah, I'd like to see that one come back. And the last one, I don't know if I'm in the minority on this or not, but a game that I think was rebooted pretty well is the Tomb Raider franchise. Crystal Dynamics, I think, took over development of that. And the last few games, Tomb Raider, Underworld, Anniversary, and Legends, I think, have all been pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't put them on par, you know, platforming wise, with like Prince of Persia, but they're just a lot of fun. I've always been kind of a platformer, you know, adventure fan, and I had a lot of fun with the most recent ones. So
That's cool.
Not to burst your bubble, but Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft Montpelier is working on it.
Ha.
And you know what happens with Ubisoft games.
Delay.
As you've been reminded on this show constantly, pretty much every week.
Ubisoft. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I know it was originally Ubisoft too, so
it was
of it, but if it ever comes out remains to be seen.
The problem is it's got a release date from now until the end of time.
So right.
That's the window that you've got. But
I had a couple other ones actually different from there. Unless you were gonna go for next, Kyle. Do you wanna go next?
You are welcome to go next. I'll go last. That's cool.
Okay.
I don't have anything right now.
Well, since the rights have been lost by EA, I'm curious to see a reboot on NASCAR, which would be interesting. I just know EA had a grasp on it for so long, but there used to be this version for the PC, and I'm kind of wish Wing was here because he, I believe, still has it for the PC, but it was such a realistic NASCAR driving game that it was unreal. I think it's like, man, I forget if it was made by Sierra or I can't remember 100%. Maybe next week he can correct me and let everybody know what it was, but it's like NASCAR Racing Season 2002 or something like that, or 2001 was the last time it came out, and it was super awesome. But that one would be a nice franchise to get started back up, because 2009 was like the last one, as far as I know, for until somebody can pick up the rights from NASCAR themselves. There's another game made by EA, and it took place like prior to 9/11. But once 9/11 happened, they kind of took it off, and I think it was called Majestic. You guys ever heard of that?
No.
No? What this was like, you know, you signed up for it, and it's basically like a real-life game. I forget what they call those things now, where, like, they send you to different places and you know, give you clues or whatever, but this was different. It was like you sign in and you get an email, and it's like, go to this site. And when you go to this site, it's almost look like you're hacking into something, and you'd get pictures. They would call your cell phone with recorded messages from people. Page you. They would email you. It was like you were living in the game. Like, I remember when I first started playing it, because I forgot to set up what time zone I was in, I was getting phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I answer it, and this guy's like, don't hang up. You got to listen to, you know, he's like going off on me, you know, telling me about, I got to log into this website. And, you know, it gives you clues to go find things, to go to different web pages. And those pages had like little holes in it that you could act like you're like hacking things. But I think it was called the Majestic. I'll have to look it up. Yeah, it was very interesting. Of course, it was like a pay to play after you got so far into the game. There was that one, and I'm trying to think of another. I had another one in my head when you guys were talking. Kyle, go ahead, because I'll think of my other one here in a minute.
All right. Well, the biggest one that pops out of my mind is I Want to Grow 3. Doesn't look like I'm going to get one right now, because it's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. But I want a finale, sequel, whatever. I want to know what happened to Captain Mitchell. And it doesn't sound like I'm going to get that. But that would be the number one, by far, biggest one that I would like to see. Unless somehow this future soldier is going to incorporate Captain Mitchell in there, which, for all I know, could. But that's definitely the biggest one on my list. Outside of that, I mean, Duke Nukem would have been nice to see, because I really enjoyed the one on the N64. I didn't bother picking it up on the marketplace, but I really enjoyed that game. So, other than that, I can't really think of any. I mean, GoldenEye, I guess, would have been GoldenEye 2 or, you know, something. Would have been nice, but we're not going to get that either. The only other thing, and this isn't really Xbox, this is more PC, Battlefield 3. Don't give me Bad Company 2. I don't want that.
They've supposedly been working on it, but who knows?
Supposedly, I heard they answered a question, and they said they'll talk more about it later. But, yeah,
I would
it's
look
pretty
at
much,
this E3.
Yeah, it's pretty much... They said that we're still looking at the hardcore fans, and I don't know. I play that game so much. I put so much of my life into that game that I would like to see a sequel, and hopefully they'll fix some of the issues that have driven me away from that game. But that will be the one and only game that will make me play on the computer again.
I have actually the Majestic game I was talking about is an ARG genre. It's what that genre was I was thinking of. Lionhead Studios, Mr. Peter Molyneux. the other one I was thinking about rebooting would be Black and White.
Oh yeah.
Black and White 3 would be neat to come out. Because I mean, it was pretty fun. If you think about it, it's almost like a kingdom for Keflings, you know, you're just this, but you're training the, you know, your giant and your animal and stuff like that.
Don't you want to see a Postal 2, Bren?
Postal 2? No.
No? It's more of a joke, but...
Oh. No, thank you. I just had another game in my head. Oh, Deus Ex.
Isn't that coming?
No, a third one, right?
Yeah, I could have swore I saw somewhere that they were at least announced it or.
Yeah, I think you're right, but that's one that I've actually been waiting for. Deus Ex 3.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So, it was interesting. I mean, that was one of the. I don't know if it was the first game, but it was one of the first games where it was like, you know, make a decision. You know, you picked your alternate ending, things like that, things like Mass Effect and all those things do now. You have alternate endings based on how things happen. You know, you get to the end, you had to make a decision, you made a decision, that's the ending that you got. But, yeah, see, it's from Eidos, is who makes Deus Ex. There's a third one. There's a site for it, so you think it might be coming sometime. Trying to think, any other franchises?
I can't really think of anything, honestly.
Maybe they should reboot Super Mario Brothers. Oh, wait. They've just been making the same game over and over and over. Sorry, I had a crack on Nintendo somehow.
It's a reboot every time.
Yeah, exactly. It starts over every year. Every console starts over. But that's cool. So I know that I know Wing probably would have had a couple, and Rob probably would have had a couple, too.
Oh, I'm sure they both would have had plenty to add to that.
that's a good. We might have to revisit this topic.
Definitely, because you always dig back to your roots, you know, and that think about the games that you enjoyed. And I'm sure there's a million out there. I just can't think off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, like
I think I'm. Go ahead.
There's a StarCraft 2 coming out, obviously, but that's a very exciting game coming out, and they're in the beta form. You know, they're beta testing it now, but. But, you know, StarCraft was one where it's like, come on, bring out the second one. So, cool. Did you have something, Kyle? Did you?
Yeah, but I forgot it. Nice. What was I going to say? I can't remember. Yeah, that's great. Totally forgot.
Good job.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Is that are we pretty much done with that one?
It's your turn, man.
All right. Well, let's talk about some Borderlands. We haven't really touched on that that much, so
Might have to make it brief, because I know as soon as Wing gets back on, you guys are going to talk about it for about a half a show.
Yeah, we'll I'll hit the finer points, and we'll also, since we don't have a friends list, we'll also hit some of the stuff that people have been saying in our little community talkback section. First off, though, we've got to give airtime to our Mr. March. Have you been playing Borderlands at all?
No. It's I gotta say, and I was talking to Bren before the show started, I think that's probably gonna be the next game that I pick up, just because of all the positive talk about it. I wasn't sure right away, but everybody's been saying, I mean, you guys and other sites and just pretty much everybody has been saying phenomenal things about it. So I'm gonna have to pick it up. I'm gonna be super late to the game, but eventually I'll be there.
Well, you know that I probably won't help you, but Wing will definitely help you. So
okay.
I'll have moved on by then. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, if you need an extra hand, for sure. I don't know why you'd need anybody else's recommendation but ours, but hey, I'll forgive you this time.
All right, thanks.
But, all right. Well, I guess I'm going to be alone on this, so we will make this quite brief. But if you haven't heard – the new DLC for Borderlands kind of just dropped in our lap just the other day. There were reports that, oh, Borderlands DLC is coming out tomorrow. And we're like, oh, great. So we, both Wing, I, Wing's buddy, comrade, and just a bunch of Soul Assassin, a bunch of people from the community, got this and we started playing it. And the first night we were playing, and about an hour or so in, first of all, the DLC is super, super tough. So if you're one of those people that thought Mad Moxie was overkill, it like ranks just under Mad Moxie of frustrating. But maybe frustrating is a bad word. It's more just you're dying a lot more than you're used to. If you're playing by yourself, I feel sorry for you, first of all. Make sure to let one of us know. Add me. Well, send me a message first because my friends list is full. But get with a group. That's going to be the easiest way to get through this. And even then, you're all going to be dying. The enemies start out a couple levels higher than you. And if the level cap's 50, you know, the DLC raised it, and you don't get auto leveled if you get, you know, have a bunch of experience over. So get with somebody, have them help you out, because it's just ridiculous how tough it is starting off. But if you got a group of four, you should be fine. I've heard reports, I haven't gotten to it, but the hardest boss at the end is impossible. Literally, according to Soul Assassin, it's impossible. So
I got a quick question for you. Are you playing through on your first playthrough or your second playthrough? Because I've heard from other sites that when you play through the DLC on your second playthrough, it's way, way harder.
The playthrough I've only played, I've only beaten it once. But the person's game that I joined had actually beaten it twice and been on their third playthrough. So
gotcha.
I was wondering if it auto-scaled levels, because I was actually thinking about getting my level 19 Hunter and just going through it, if that's any easier to bring level 50s into my game so it goes a little bit quicker. But we're making fairly good progress. So if it comes down to it, I don't know what we're going to do. But I haven't really had time to listen to anybody else other than people from our community saying it's ridiculously hard. Have you heard reports that that it's a little bit easier if you play it on your first playthrough?
That's what I heard. I can't remember where I heard it, but I heard that a lot of people, you know, that were playing through on their second playthrough were just getting just annihilated to start out with. And I heard that the final boss is like, I mean, you have to have like four people, you know, level 61 if possible, because I guess the last boss is like a level 64 or 65.
Right.
Like, yeah, so.
And it doesn't sound bad. It sounds like a lot of fun. It doesn't sound bad, like, oh, he's only three levels, you know, higher than you. But it's just, it's not, this game, if you go into an area, like literally, there was five guys, and I was the navigator, so don't ask me why, but I was navigating. And I navigated into an area that we weren't really supposed to be in yet, and I was like, oh, this is weird, why are there little caution symbols right by their name? And literally, yeah. It took us probably a good 15, 20 minutes to kill four guys that were two levels ahead of us.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty much they've added like a combat medic too. So I believe he definitely heals himself after a while. And he might also heal everybody around him. So couple that with increased armor and your weapons do absolutely nothing. One of my biggest gripes is the weapons still aren't better in this DLC. So they kind of put you at a little bit of disadvantage with that. I was expecting a little bit better weapons, but that's just me.
And I heard all the super weapons did get wiped from the game, didn't they?
Unfortunately, yeah, they did. Oh. I'm a little bit mad about that. But yeah, the cheat weapons got killed from the game, and there's nothing I could do about it. I so wish they would have just let me pick one, because it's so much easier. It's so much easier if I had that weapon. But yep, those got killed, and we got to do it the legit way, which is very disappointing. But hey, at least, oh boy, if you're going to pick up this game, you've got a treat for you.
Yeah.
Hey, with Mad Moxie, without weapons, oh boy. Might have to leave my Xbox on for you for a couple hours and let you play under my level 19, because don't bother trying with your level 50. It's impossible.
Ouch.
Yeah. Hmm. So talk to one of our community members, I think Dolphin Adam. He's got Borderlands. He's a pretty big – that's another guy I played with. He got to the level 19, maybe – I can't remember who it was. It was somebody in our community. He said he got to level 19, which is one level away from the final level. Couldn't do it. Had to quit, and he lost all of it.
Ouch.
You have to start all the way over. If you got to do it straight, 1 to 20, straight. Took us 2.5 hours, I think, with my level 19 just to get through it. So, yeah, it's pretty brutal. So I apologize that you don't have those weapons, but
yeah, should have got it sooner.
Yeah, there you go. That's your punishment. But the only problem that I ran into, I don't know if it's computer or internet problems, but this is the first time it's done this, and I don't know if anybody else has had this issue. I'm interested to hear. Maybe it's just, like I said, my internet. But I was playing with three people, and all of a sudden, like, enemies stopped spawning, but they'd still shoot at me. I just couldn't see them. I got to a part, like a catwalk, and I hit like a different path, like you could tell it was a different object on the ground. I'd like walk over it, and it's almost like I fell through the ground and kind of went into this holding cell, maybe like a spawn area or something. I just lift them up out of the floor. I don't know. And then like I'd hit my controller just a little bit to move in a direction, and it popped me back up on the catwalk. So it was really weird. Another thing is I jump into a vehicle, and I basically free cammed all around for about 2 minutes until it caught up and put me in the vehicle. So really weird stuff. I don't know what was going on, but I played probably about 30, 45 minutes to an hour and yesterday, and didn't have that problem. So probably just my internet connection, which is really bad. But other than that, anybody have any other comments before we move into what our community members had to say?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. Well, first reply to my community talkback post was from Hawk. He said, "Don't have it, can't afford it. Either playing Mass Effect 2, finished four times." Gosh.
Four times.
Four times. Wow. Holy. Dark Void finished and BioShock 2 finished. I am bored. Yeah, because I had mentioned in this post that if you don't have Borderlands, let us know what you've been playing. So, Hawk, props, mad props, sir, four times Mass Effect 2. That's just ridiculous.
I want to know if he's beat it on Insane.
Well, give me a couple seconds and I will look that up. I know at least one person, I'm sure he has, I'm sure he's got his thousand. But I know at least one person that has beaten on Insane, and mad props to them as well, because
definitely.
I can't do it. No. I can't do it.
I've gotten through the first level on Insane, but that's it. Like the first.
Yeah, the starter level. I was like, man, this is easy.
Yep.
And then I got stuck trying to get the doctor. It's just I literally stuck for two hours maybe. It was ridiculous. Oh, Phil the Guy. Also, shout out to him. I've been playing Borderlands with him as well. I don't see. Anyways, next person on the list while I stall and look for. Oh, he doesn't have the 1,000. So let's see what he's missing. Hawk is missing Insane.
Oh, man.
Hawk, next week, I'm going to check up on you. We want you to get that Insane playthrough done. Your fifth playthrough. So next up on the list is Metal Witch. The DLC will punk you out. It's tough. I am at level 53 right now and still dying all the time. Beating Mr. Shank, Shank, was a challenge until I figured out that running to the corners and gunning over and over. I have not yet done online, but single player is worth the $10, 800 Microsoft points. Just expect to die and be this DLC's beep. Next is the one and only Wingman 709. I fought Mr. Shank last night. What an awesome mission. I loved it, and yes, I agree. It was really freaking hard. I am really loving this DLC much better than the previous two. Amen to that. Also, don't forget to check out the world's largest bullet tour. So, yeah, Wing showed me that last night, and that tour blew my mind. It really did. Everybody should check it out. It's ridiculously awesome. Keep in mind, you will need $8 million in Borderland money to take this tour, but it is well worth every penny. Plus, you get an achievement. Soul Assassin 808 rounded out the short discussion of the Borderlands DLC. Love the DLC, best DLC yet. Almost finished with it. Do we expect anything else from Soul Assassin 808? Power gamer to the max. Once you guys get to the final boss, you're beep your pants on how hard he is. We tried with two level 61 guys with outstanding guns. His little quote unquote guards kill us with two hits, and we can't even get a shot off. I don't see any way to beat this without four people. So, there you have it. That was what I was referencing to. Yeah. So, I'm interested to get to this fourth boss. I will get my 200 gamer score or whatever this game adds. So, we'll get it eventually. Just might take a little effort, or possibly have to replay it through on a lower character. But I think that pretty much wraps it up for the topics. Does anybody else have anything to add about any of our topics?
I do not.
All right.
Yep.
Well,
I think that's it, right?
And I think that's it. Mr. Dark Christoph, Mr. March, Mr. Chris, whatever you'd like people to call you. It has been an honor having you on the show with us as our second Gamer of the Month. You will have your, I guess, first day in March, Monday, we'll have your gamer card on our website, just like Ravioli Ponies is right now.
Yeah.
Would you like to add anything, shout out, anything you can think of?
It's been a ton of fun. You know, I really like doing this. It was really cool. Just keep up the great work, guys. Love the site. Love the podcast. Love being a part of it. You guys are great. So, also, I'll pimp out my gamer tag here real quick. I can always use more friends. So, you know, if anybody wants to hit me up for any of the games that I play, definitely.
All right. Do you want to spell out your gamer tag for gamer?
did you
tag gamer tag?
He did it.
Did you? All right, is this?
I was actually trying to say tag, and I choked. I was about ready to swallow my own tongue.
Yeah, it's a dark D-A-R-K, Kristoff. It's a K-R-Y-S-T-O-F. So all one word.
Cool. And, of course, it's going to be on the website first day in March. True. So.
Yes, first day. The podcast will probably be out on Sunday, but we will update put the card out there the next day. So,
cool.
You are actually going to be a couple days longer, the Gamer of the Month, because Ravioli
got February.
Nice. Which is 28 days. So you will have the longest, and will always have at least a tie for the longest share of the Gamer of the Month.
Excellent. So, take that, Rev.
You one-upped him, that's for sure. So just please don't release any risque pictures of yourself on the internet.
I think I reached out to the internet a couple days ago and pulled them all back in, so there shouldn't be anything. Hopefully I got them all.
We don't like controversy here at this Xbox Live, so that's good. It's very good. But, all right. Well, run. Anything?
No? Do you want me to close it out, or you want to take it?
Doesn't matter to me.
Let's make Dark Kristoff stumble through it.
All right. Read that closing line for us.
All right. Well, make sure and contact us or them at contact@thisxboxlife.com. Visit our site or their site at thisxboxlife.com. Follow our Twitter and join our gamer card.
Very good. So, all right. Well, signing out. BJSwick33. I'm out of here.
This is Kyle, a.k.a. Moronic Cow. Congrats to Dark Kristoff again for March Gamer of the Month. And I'm off to play some Dante's Inferno. Should be fun.
Cool. And this is Chris, a.k.a. Dark Kristoff, signing out. Probably be online here in a few minutes. So, yeah.